talking about men praying.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about this, Sister Newton, you see so many women out there that are called intercessors mm-hmm. and prayer warriors. And, mm-hmm. and they're out there, you find them flat out in church on the floor,
yeah.
just praying before God, praying for God's people, moving and shaking. But you don't even see too many men
Mm-mm.
out there standing
Mm-mm.
on the walk.
Mm-mm.
Why is that? Well, I would dare say it's because, you know, men call themselves problem solvers. They mm-hmm. want to be out there doing some things.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us as men, me included, have been guilty of out there doing things without seeking God.
Mm.
But watch this. When I accepted my call into ministry, I found out that I too am an intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have learned and I've developed in ministry to where I pray for God's men.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's all
right. I pray for the men. And mm-hmm. I'm asking you all to listen, call up your best friend, call up the people that you know, and tell them to dial in the 1480 right now and listen, because you have a man here today that's just going to really focus on men getting down in the trenches and praying. Mm-hmm. And when you share with me to go ahead and give the testimony about my first grandson being born,
yeah.
I'm excited about that, because that's one of those examples where I began to pray and
mm-hmm.
and began to have that conversation with God. And mm-hmm. as a result of having that conversation with him, he moved.
You yes, see,
because Jesus is not only my friend, he's my Lord. And when you understand what Lord means, it means relationship.
I'm going to run out of here.
All right. See, that means when you call Jesus your Lord, it means you have a relationship
mm-hmm.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that relationship with God, here's what's beautiful about that. We all go to church on Sundays and Wednesday nights, and we have the devotional prayers in the Baptist church, where the man of God will stand up there and say, "Our Father and our God, we come to you as humble as we know how," and all that stuff. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in the past. We thank you for waking us up this morning, closed in our right mind. That cliche prayer,
mm-hmm.
Sister Deborah.
Yeah.
But see, when you have a relationship with God, you can be driving your car. You don't have to be so formal. You can just drive your car and say, "Lord, you know, I've got a need right now, God, and this situation is bothering me. And Lord, this situation is concerning me, God. And I just believe, because of my relationship with you, that you're going to work this situation out."
Yeah.
So as I'm over here taking care of this, God, I'm just having an expectation, because you are my Lord, that you are going to work this situation out. It's about that relationship. So I sit here before you all excited. You've watched my family grow. You've watched my life. You've watched what I've been doing in ministry. And I sit here before you all, San Antonio, saying I'm a proud father of 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
10 people call me dad, 6 of them biological, and the other extended children. I don't call them stepchildren. I call them my marital children
mm-hmm.
because they were my children through marriage.
Yeah.
And I sit here excited because out of those 10 children, 6 of them already have their degrees.
Mm. Praise
that's God.
God.
That's not
God.
Troy Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who I was married to, but that's God who made it so that for them to go through and get their college degrees.
Jesus.
And still got 2 more that are on their way to college. One getting ready to start, 17 years of age. And then you know my youngest is in music,
mm-hmm.
14 years old, ministering before God's people, playing every string instrument you can imagine.
Mm.
That's God.
Yes, it is.
Y'all know his mom to be that incredible psalmist, Cheryl. I mean, it's in him by DNA. It's in all the children. And so God is moving, and he's blessed me. And now here I find it so that in those children, I have 4 female granddaughters.
Mm.
So the reason why this testimony is so powerful, because it's about my first biological grandson. And I just want to share that with you, and hopefully it will help and bless somebody. Why are we choosing to talk about this, Sister Deborah? Well, guess what? We all have children. And we're all praying for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all wanting God to move and do things and cover our children.
Mm-hmm.
But here I've raised all 10 of these children in the admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
And in church and involved in church, doing liturgical dance, singing
mm-hmm.
my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I even have some children that have fallen away.
Mm-hmm.
They're still saved. Please understand me.
Mm-hmm.
But they're out doing their own thing. They're out believing other things. And Sister Deborah, what I'm praying about and what I'm asking you to pray about is this thing here. We as intercessors
mm-hmm.
need to be the louder voice, because the reason when our children go away to school, now watch this carefully, when our children go away to colleges, there are venues and assignments of the enemy
mm-hmm.
to pull our children out of the will of God.
Yes.
And so they have our children believing weird stuff, you know, worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, and then they put titles on it and, you know, all these different things. And so it burdens my heart to see even a couple of my children dealing with this. But God has shown me, hey, they're coming back. I've got that worked out. And I'm not trying to even embarrass my daughter, because my daughter knows that her daddy loves her, but she also knows where her daddy stands in Christ.
Amen.
And she knows what I believe, because when she's around me and when she's around her parents, we have to be the loudest voice.
Yes.
And so as I share with you and as we pray later on today, I want us all to pray loudly against the enemy's attack and what he's doing to our children. And so as we talk about this testimony, my daughter found herself pregnant, ready to deliver on September 25th. September 25th. And she was excited about it. But here's what she did. She decided that she wanted to go the natural route. All natural. I'm talking no doctors, no medication, no nothing. And she even talked us into going to this birthing center. So I went on over there to support my daughter. That's my daughter. And I've had the joy of watching all of my grandchildren come into the world. I've even witnessed all my children coming into the world, witnessed C-sections and all that stuff. So I'm cool with this. But when I heard that she didn't want to go to a hospital, I'm like, what in the world are you thinking? What are you doing? But she convinced us that's what she wanted to do. Now, I want you all to know, in Radio Land, the only reason why I was comfortable with that is because the room that she would give birth in, the birthing room with the midwife and all that stuff, it had a double door where they could back an ambulance up and take her a block away to a hospital. So that was the only reason why Troy Bennett was cool in that situation. Well, watch this. Watch this. So here she is talking to us, saying she wants to go naturally. But here's where the prayer comes in. She called me up, says, Daddy, the baby's due on the 25th, but I don't want to be pregnant no more, Daddy. I want to have the baby tomorrow. This is on the 21st. She says this to me. And I knew I had a lot of stuff to do on the 22nd. I had to work. I had business appointments and all that stuff. And because I have the Lord as my Savior, I have that relationship with Him. I said, well, you know what, baby? I'm going to talk to the Lord about that. And if you want to have the baby tomorrow, that's fine. Let's just, I'm going to pray that you have the baby after 6 o'clock, but before Daddy's bedtime, okay? But before 11. I mean, I literally was that specific. Now, I called Cheryl up, who's my prayer partner and my roadie when it comes down to ministry. I called her up, and she cracked up and said, "Dad, you know, Troy, you crazy, but all right, if that's what you're praying for, I'm in agreement." Because God's word said it was two or more touch and agree. He's in the midst. So
yes,
I knew He was in the midst of what I spoke and what I put out there into the atmosphere. Now, I completely forgot about what I said and what I spoke out into the atmosphere. But on the 22nd, my daughter gives me a call around about 4:30 in the afternoon. Mind you, I completely forgot about what I said the day before. And it gets good right now, because she calls me and she says, Daddy, can you come over right now? And I'm like, what's the matter? She's like, I think this is it. And in an instant, God brought everything that I had said to my remembrance. So I was over there almost immediately, and I get over to my daughter's house, and she's there by herself. She's a school teacher, and her twin sister is at the school substituting for her. And so she says, Dad, this is too painful, Dad. I'm going to have this baby now. So she's on the phone with the midwife, and then I'm like, okay, well, we're on our way. The midwife, now watch this, San Antonio. The midwife told me over the phone, saying, well, listen, this is her first child, and so since it's her first, she's not going to have the baby till 3, 4, 5 o'clock, maybe tomorrow. So we're going to go home and take care of our families, and then we'll come back. And if you want to come back later... I'm like, so you mean to tell me y'all going to take care of your family and my daughter's got to sit here and wait? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't watch enough TV, done seen enough Chicago Hope and all that stuff. I'll get me some newspaper, get me some towels and some soap, and if I got to do this myself, because I've seen all my children being born, I've seen my grandchildren being born, Sister Deborah, hey, we can do this. Now, I know this sounds funny, but I was like, if that's what we have to do, Lord, that's what we have to do.
Okay.
Well, lo and behold, we waited And then they gave us a call back and said, we're on our way. If she wants to go in and come, she can come on out. Mm-hmm. We raced over there to that birthing center, and they checked her. And my daughter was only at 1 centimeter. Now, mm-hmm. for those of you that know, the goal is to get the 10.
Yeah.
And so when you're only 1 centimeter, they send you back home, tell you go walk, do some push-ups, do a couple backflips, some cartwheels, you know, and then come back when you're at 5 or 6, and, mm-hmm. and we'll do this. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my daughter. I said, baby, do you want to have this baby tonight? And she said, yes. I said, well, your dad is getting ready to pray. Now, even in her unbelief, rolling her eyes, looking at me like I was crazy, mm-hmm. even though she's been raised up in the church, mm-hmm. and here I am getting ready to pray for my daughter who needs the prayer. Mm-hmm. She's the one pregnant, mm-hmm. not me.
Yeah.
But she's looking and acting a little silly and rolling her eyes and so forth and so forth. But the devil is a lie. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, if you want to have this baby tonight, you need to get ready. So we're going to walk around here, this building and all that stuff. And her twin sister had arrived. And the birthing center is that you can have 20, 30, 40 people there if you want.
Oh, wow.
So everybody's coming from the north, the south, and east, and west to see her deliver this child. So her twin sister comes in, and there's something special about a twin relationship. Mm-hmm. And so those twins were dancing together around the room to some music, just trying to bring the birth canal to open up and so mm-hmm. forth and so forth. You know what we're trying to do here. And so Cheryl and I went and sat in the waiting room. The midwives were there talking. And I asked one of them, I said, excuse me, ma'am, y'all been doing this a while. Y'all said y'all delivered over 1,000 babies. And I said, it's a little bit after 6. And I said, is there any chance that, you know, we could push this along and have this baby by 10 o'clock? Now, Cheryl's sitting there looking, they're giving me like, and I'm like, I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. And they looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, sir, it doesn't work that way. I said, well, I haven't prayed.
Hmm.
Something powerful about prayer.
Yeah, it is.
All right? Mm-hmm. So watch this. The child's father comes in, and he's preparing, and they put her in a room and everything, and she's back there screaming and hollering and going through the motions, and they say, well, we can put you in the birthing tub, and we'll go ahead and put you in the birthing tub. That might ease some of the pain. And when they did that, sure, some of the pain subsided as much as it could. And I told the midwife, can you please check her? And they looked at me like I was crazy. Said, sir, we just checked her. She's only at 1 centimeter. I said, no, I feel something. I need you to check her. And this young midwife, Sister Deborah, reached in and checked her, and her eyes got big as saucers. And she said, I need to get the veteran midwife to come in. And the veteran midwife came in there, and she reached and checked my daughter, and her eyes got big as saucers. Mm-hmm. And she said, she says, we got a problem. She says, your daughter is only at 1 centimeter, but the water bag is already protruding out like a balloon. And I said, so what does that mean? That means that her body needs to adjust. And see, now, if she was in a hospital, Sister Deborah, a OBGYN would have burst the bag, and mm-hmm. that would have subsided and caused the baby. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But my daughter wanted to do this midwife thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going somewhere. And I said, well, I guess it's time for me to pray.
Mm.
The midwives left the room, and I got up from behind my daughter and walked around and knelt down in front of her. And her mother was there. It was quite a few people in the room. And I began to pray, laid hands on her belly. And I don't remember what I said, but I do remember this. There was some laughter in the room from one of the members. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and say who it was. It was another young lady who's in non-belief right now. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, who's pregnant, sitting there rolling her eyes. Mm-hmm. And I began to decree and declare. I said, Lord, I'm asking you to do this miracle on the belief of the people in this room that do believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you to ignore my daughters and how they are acting, mm-hmm. but I'm asking you to do this on my belief and on my faith in you and on my relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I decreed and declared, and I just spoke over all that stuff. And when I was finished praying, I got back behind my daughter and reached down in the water, and I looked at her and I said, is she ready to do this? And she said, yes, Daddy, yes, yes, yes. I said, okay, when the next contraction comes, we're going to have this baby. In the meantime, the midwives come back in, and they had heard all the commotion in there and heard the laughter and heard the little emotions rising. And I said, ma'am, I need you to check her again. And they looked at me and said, sir, I'm sorry, we don't need to check her. We've already checked her a few minutes ago. I says, no, I have now just finished praying. I need you to come check her. And they checked her, and I'm here to tell you, because of the power of God, not because of the power of Troy, but the power of faith, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because mm-hmm. the power of speaking what you want and are asking of the Lord. When you look at John, what's the scripture? John, 1 John 5 and 14. that's what welled up in me.
Yeah.
All right? So as a result, what ended up happening is they checked her, and she was fully dilated just in that short period of time. And the veteran midwife said, well, just because she's dilated, this is still is her first child, because she's going on science. I'm not going on science, I'm going on Jesus Christ. And I said, well, can she start pushing? They said, yeah, she can go ahead and start pushing, but it's still going to be after 12 o'clock. I said, ma'am, you keep forgetting that I have just prayed the power of prayer. Well, Sister Deborah, I want you to know there was two contractions, nothing happened. And I looked at my daughter, my hand was behind her back, and it began to shake. And she said, Daddy, your hand is shaking. And I said, baby girl, that's something you used to know something about. It's called the anointing. Are you with me? Something you used to understand fully is the anointing. That's what you feel right now. And so literally, I said, now the next time you push, this baby shall and will come forth. And so the next contraction came around, and she pushed like she never pushed before. And there were three midwives standing in front of her, looking down in amazement. And that baby, his name is Davion, we call him DJ, shot out of her like a bullet into that water in that tub. And I looked up at him and I said, are y'all gonna grab the baby? Because, see, even in their non-belief, they now became believers because all they referenced was this man said something about prayer. And they referenced, hey, she was at 1 centimeter minutes ago, and now here is at 10. But, see, that's a God move, Sister Deborah.
Yes, that's it.
And so the baby was put on her chest and on her breast, immediately latched, no crying or anything like that. And he is super healthy. He is 7 months old. Praise he is super God. Advanced. God did what we asked him to do in Jesus' name because of our faith and because of our belief. And I believe, and as I remind my daughter about that on a regular basis, I say, God's got you even in your own absence. He still has you. So as a man sitting here, I just want San Antonio to know, I want you to know that there's some men out there that need to be found. And I hope we have some conversation here with this as we come to a close very, very shortly, Sister Deborah. I think it's important that men need to be found praying.
Yes.
Children need to see their fathers praying. All right. There's pastors standing behind the pulpit that have women that are praying for the ministry before they ever come up. But what about them as men of God being out there praying too? All right. Now, I don't get invited to preach to many churches because I'm an obedience preacher, and that's perfectly okay. I stick with an obedience message. All right. I stick to a God's word message, and I'm perfectly okay with that. But I like being found on the wall praying for God's people. And I believe that when men pray, hear this, men, I believe that when men are found praying, and I believe this in the spirit, that God literally stands up on his throne and turns and bends his ear towards that man because of what they are praying about. And I believe that when men pray, God says, look at that man praying on behalf of my people. Now, because they are praying, not taking anything away from women, but now because men are praying, I believe God begins to reach into that individual's tomorrows, that he reaches into to their Sunday and into their Monday and to their Tuesday and say, because of what they're praying about on Saturday at 12 o'clock noon, I've got to move on that situation on Monday that was supposed to happen, that circumstance that was supposed to happen on Tuesday. Now that's not going to happen because of what they are praying about on Saturday at 12 noon. Are you with me on that?
My goodness.
That's what's so important about men being found praying. So I'm going to stay in my part of the vineyard. I'm going to do what I've been called to do. But I hope that testimony just kind of blesses people hearing that the power of prayer. You know, we've heard that cliche. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Some prayer, some power. But when there's much prayer, there's much power.
You know, Troy, I was thinking about when you shared with me before you started to pray for your daughter, you said you had went before, you didn't say much of this right now, but you had went in front of your daughter and you laid hands on her belly and you began to repent for the behaviors. And, you know, God says, if my people who are called by my name will repent. And that was the first thing that you had said, is that you repented for the behaviors of those that did not believe, their conduct and whatever else. But that just really stood out to me.
My God.
And another thing that stood out to me was after she had the baby, the way you told the testimony, it's like I can visually see it. And you said, she said, thank you, Daddy.
Yes, she did.
So she knew. Mm-hmm. She knew. And that just really blessed me, because Daddy stood on the wall for her. Daddy stood in the gap for her. Regardless to her behavior, regardless to her mindset at the time, Daddy still was right there.
Yeah.
And that's what I know about a daddy, because my daddy, when he was living, he was always there for me. And he showed me an example of how he goes before me. One time we was cutting a yard we were working together and we was cutting a yard together, and the grass was high. What he would do is go before me with the weed eater, and I'd follow him. So look at that. Daddy went before his daughter.
My God. My God.
Can you pray for the people? We have about 5, maybe 4 minutes.
All right.
And if you can, just take us in prayer. And be that blessing that you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Let us go before the Father. Father, we thank you right now, God. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for this time. We thank you for just what you're doing, God. We thank you for the people, the men and women of God, that you're using to pour out your word on behalf of your people, God. So, Lord, we just come to you thanking you right now, just a spirit of thanksgiving, God, because you were just so good to us, God. You just take care of situations. You take care of circumstances. You have a way of being that God that is like Daddy.
Mm.
Lord, we find ourselves in many situations where we need to just come and climb into your lap. Yeah. God, sometimes at 46 years of age, God, I find myself in that midnight hour imagining myself in my prayer time, getting up, climbing in your lap, just sitting there looking up at you, pouring out my heart of my concerns and situations and happenstance, God. So, Lord, let us all humble ourselves and go back to being like a child that can climb up in their daddy's lap and get comfortable, God, and nestle up close to you, Lord. And, Lord, we use that opportunity for you to begin to move and work out situations and circumstances on our behalf. Lord, I hear you saying that we as Christian people need to be the louder voice, because our young people, God, are hearing louder voices, and therefore people, our young people are doing things and believing things and getting into practices and trying whims just because, and fads just because, God, because they're listening to such loud voices and not being leaders, but being followers of the voices that they hear. Lord, we talk about the prayer room and the room to go and pray and the war room, God. But I'm asking and decreeing and declaring that we as people of God, yes, need to pray. And yes, we need to go into our closets, God. But as so many situations and circumstances are coming out of the closet, God, I ask that we as Christians and prayer warriors and citizens of the kingdom, that we come out of the closet and that we be the louder voice for you to preach your word, to pray your word, to remind your people of what you're doing, and not only what you're doing, God, but to remind people of what you've done for them in the past, to share testimony after testimony, to share circumstance after circumstance, and remind your people of what you've done for them in the past. Let us be the louder voice from this day forward, so that people would turn and bend their ear and look on our lives and be want to get closer to you as a result of what they're hearing and what they're seeing, God. Let our lives line up with your word, God, today. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for Sister Deborah. I thank you for the alliance that we are creating, working together, God, this part of the vineyard, God. I ask that you move in her mind and in her spirit. Give her word pictures and word knowledge of what you're yet to do in her ministry, God, taking her to higher heights and deeper depths in you, God, because this is only the beginning. Mm. So, Lord, we thank you right now, God. As the two of us sit here, God, we sit here with such great excitement, God.
Yes.
And we thank you for what you've done in the past. Mm. We sit here with such great anticipation for what you're doing right now, God.
Yes.
And we sit here looking into our futures, excited with what you're about to do.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, praise God again. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to minister and share what God is doing with you. We love you and God bless you.